teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. We will be here with Kedrick Prince and then Brad Sturdy to break down what happened in Illinois' 96-66 destruction of Northwestern. Certainly a big part of it was Boo Boo. He was about the only one who came to play. But boy, the Illini defense was there in the first half. It was still strong in the second half, but amazing in the first half. And Illinois' offense might have even gotten better in the second half than it was in the first. Bad juju for the Northwestern Wildcats. We'll be right back with Kedrick Prince.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley, and I'm here with Kedrick Prince. We'll be joined in the near future here by Brad Sturdy. Wanted to really talk about an impressive win, 96-66. Over Northwestern. There have been some, you know, national analysts who said they want to see if Illinois is worthy of being ranked highly. At least for one game, one night, the Illini have proven that they are very, very worthy of being ranked highly, as they really blow the doors off of Northwestern. Boo Booey was about the only player on the Northwestern side who showed up, and even he needed a jump start of a couple fouls to get him kind of going, help him out early on. Ted, first thing is I've seen on Twitter, Andy Katz has taken a lot of crap from Illini fans. I would urge Illini fans to take a look at over the years. I think Andy Katz has been one of the biggest Illini proponents in the media. And so if you're going to predict stuff, which he predicted Illinois would be behind Northwestern, if you predict enough things, you're going to be wrong. Or if you're like me, if you predict anything, you'll probably be wrong. But I kind of thought that it's a bad look for Illini fans to be whining at a guy who historically has been a huge supporter of the team. What are your thoughts on the whole media predictions and things like that?
Mike, it's a tough spot. I mean, I really understand all of it. I get both sides. I'm a huge Andy Katz fan. I do think personally, this is just me, I get why some people change their opinions. But where he put Illinois is where I kind of struggle with. They're not the sixth best team in the conference without Terrence Shannon. I would have said, okay, if you want to slide Ohio State or Wisconsin there, that's fine. But that would have been the extent of it. Other than that, I get it. This team is special. You know, Illinois fans, you can sit here and you can try to nitpick and find anything because, you know, they asked Marcus Domas tonight, you know, what are the things you can work on? He didn't have an answer. He just gave a politically correct answer and said, hey, look at the film and there are some things. Well, when Brad said it, when you're making shots, everything looks good. And they're making shots right now. They're defending well. This is a very special basketball team. Enjoy it. Because of all the miserable years that you've had and you've had to endure, you know, losing to Northwestern, thinking that, you know what, I have to worry about this. You know what? When you cover teams, and if you're a fan, you want your teams to always have a chance to go out to compete. and have a chance to win. Brad Underwood has done that since he's been at Illinois, except for his first year when he was turning over the roster. He has put together a very special group. And what I really like, Mike, you know, we all talk about them being connected and not being cancers. And, you know, the national media may not see what we see and know what we know, but I watched Marcus Domas just pull a Michael Jordan. Everybody was just watching him. But you know what? I saw guys clapping and applauding him after that, after those shots. Guys on the floor. Coleman Hawkins is the guy who's been in Illinois for 100 years. You could see it. This is what Coleman Hawkins wanted, a good roster. So, Mike, this is just a special team. You know, I get, again, to answer your question, I understand why some of the media did what they did. But let's, you know, gosh, I know I probably shouldn't say this, but look how good they look tonight. Can you imagine if Terrence Shannon would have played tonight? I mean, they might have hung 120 on Northwestern. This is a really good basketball team, and there's no harm in people saying that. Brag, be happy about it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think in the end, you know, I just think it's, you know, Illini as a fan base gets kind of whiny when things don't go in their direction. I certainly get annoyed, but I look at certain guys, I guess their history. If it's somebody who's been an anti-Illini for years, I might be a little more critical. But if it's somebody who's been, you know, an Illini supporter, yeah, I mean, he pretty much, so he's wrong, you know, get in line. Lord knows, you know, I really thought we were going to have a national title game of Georgia and Michigan, and Michigan made it there. Georgia didn't, you know, it is what it is. I guess Washington fans, if they knew who I was or cared, could whine about it. But,
but on the flip side of it, the teams that he put ahead of Illinois, it made those teams feel good. You're not going to make everybody happy. When you look at the top 25 polls, you're not going to make everybody happy. And if we in the media, the one thing we always say, you have to have thick skin. If you're going to put something out there, darn it, you better be able to stand by it. You know, and I know the one reporter that you're talking about, you know, and I feel bad because he's going to get flooded with emails and people are going to take shots at him. But it's his right to feel that way. You know, I mean, he can feel that way. I'm going to tell you, when I voted, I used to be able to vote for this about 3 or 4 years where I was able to vote on the polls. And I'm going to tell you, I did my homework. I never let what other people do persuade me or what they said. I looked at wins, losses, and talent. And sometimes you just have bad losses or whatever. So it's their right. But going by what you said, Andy Katz is a huge Illinois guy. I mean, he has supported them when they struggled, even when they were the number one seed. He was the one guy that thought they could win it all. And he would always promote Brad. I'm just a fan of him, not just because of that, but I really think he understands the game of college basketball. And you know what? You lose a guy that averaged 20 points a game in an All-American and on a short turnaround, you know, in his mind, he's thinking, you know, how can Illinois fix this? Or are they able, where are you going to get the points from? And I'm going to tell you, to answer my own question, my guy is Justin Harmon. That's what those points. I know what Marcus Domas did. Justin Harmon is that X factor, I think, to make up some of those points.
Yeah, so let's go into this. Domas played bully ball, and to be honest, I feel like I'm taking a trip back to the 1980s when I watched this style. Felt that way watching Penn State executed on Illinois last year. But boy, Domas with that mid-range game was incredible. He also got to the line and didn't waste any, you know, there at 9 out of 10, you know, with 5 rebounds, 6 assists, only 3 turnovers, 32 points, shot 11 from 15, including 1 for 1 from the 3. Really a supreme effort from Domask tonight.
You got to be happy for a guy like this. This kid knew he was a Division I, Power 5 Division I basketball player coming out of high school. It didn't work out for him. Brad Underwood saw something in him. A lot of coaches did too afterwards. I have to admit, Illinois was one of the first schools to contact him, and they showed him how he would fit what Brad wanted to do. I really, really applaud the coaches because, I mean, let's call a spade, people were not excited. You know, I wrote a column about Marcus Domas coming in. It was like, okay, kid, who's next? You know, they were worried about the point guard spot. But now you have a guy on your team who's having fun. and he makes everyone better. Even if he's not scoring points, he's going to rebound. He's going to play defense. Or like the other night, you know, against FDU, he had 11 assists. And I'm going to tell you, I cannot wait. The one game I want to see more than any game that's left on the schedule is when Illinois plays Wisconsin, because that's where he's from, and A.J. Storr, who's from Chicago. Both of those schools wanted those their home state schools to recruit them, and it didn't happen. So that's going to be a really fun game to watch.
Yeah, I wish they could have talked A.J. Storr into being sixth man, and, hey, you'll be the man next year.
But, no kidding.
But, you know, that's it's easier said than done. You know, people don't transfer to sit. Next off, I thought Guerrier played a really, really nice game. Again, very efficient, 6-for-9 from the field. 14 points, 10 rebounds, so another double-double. What a great third time is the charm recruitment for him.
You know, I just mentioned Marcus Domask having fun. Quincy is just loving life right now. I mean, and I don't think I've seen a time where Brian Underwood's yelled at him. I just don't, because I think he's such a nice person and a good kid. Well, man, because he looks 40. He's just a nice player, and he gets along with the kids. Last Friday, you know, when they played, you know, Curly Dickinson, if a guy would struggle, he'd pat him on the back. Or tonight, you know, Ty Rogers picked up a foul, and he was the first guy to support him. He mentioned, you know, in his press conference that Brad wants him to be more vocal because he is the oldest guy on the team, and he's seen it. And what Illinois has done, I mean, you mentioned these first two guys. They have put both of these guys in situations where they are, like, excelling. They've had great careers, you know, at Syracuse and Oregon and SIU. But right now, they are excelling in an offense and with players around them. You know, if they – can you imagine – if both of those kids would have been in Illinois as freshmen to stay right now, how could they be? And man, what the success the team would have had, Mike, because they're gelling. They believe in each other. They support each other. And, you know, we all talk about this locker room, man, but it's nice. And I know firsthand, because I hear from the parents and coaches, this team really does get along.
Well, and they're old, too. That's the other thing. Now, Coleman Hawkins, look, the people who were on him earlier in the season – it's clear his knees were bothering him. He is on a tear from the three-point line. Again, shot 40% there, 2-for-5, 5-for-9 from the field, 13 points, a rattling dunk, 5 rebounds, you know, a couple of assists, only 2 turnovers. What I thought, though, that Coleman Hawkins does is, if you want to see basketball IQ to be demonstrated – watch him when he helps off the ball. He blocks off more drives. He comes in and helps and then gets back to his man. He really is just a force on defense. And that is something that if you haven't coached the game, or to be honest, even some guys play the game and never really figure that out. But the reason why he gets so many minutes is because he is so darn good at that defensive part of the basketball game. And then offensively, when he's hitting the three, the immobile fives are like, oh, I don't want to go out after him. And when they do, they either leave the lane open for cutters for the Illini, and Hawkins is a capable passer, and Illinois is now cutting with intention to score, as opposed to just from running to point A to point B. And he's a nightmare on that end. I tell you, Ked, I really think whatever was going on with his knees, you have to give Coach Underwood and the training and staff and the strength and conditioning staff, along with Coleman, the kudos for dealing with that problem and getting it hopefully in the rearview mirror.
I said this a couple of podcasts ago, and I still believe this. I think if Coleman Hawkins was healthy, they beat Marquette at home. You saw a guy that was just wounded. He was in pain. If anybody has aspects to going back into watching that Marquette game, watching him trying to make pass and lifting and running up the court, and the one reason I say he was a determining factor, defensively he wasn't himself. Mike, he's a tough guy to shoot over. And you're exactly right. Guys will dribble, but Coleman is so smart defensively. He knows when guys are trying to get to their spots, and then when they get there, they can shoot over, and then he recovers back. And then he's able to guard guards. I know we're talking about tonight's game against Northwestern, but I'm going to put it out there right now. I think Coleman Hawkins is the X factor to Illinois if they have a chance of beating Purdue, because Zach Edey is not going to guard him out there. It just doesn't matter. And the reason I said that, if he's making threes like that, if he's making them and they're finding him, Illinois will have a good shot, because the other person, the only other person Zach Edey could guard will be Quincy. And he shoots, he's shooting it as well as Coleman and can put it on the floor as well. Both of those guys to me, and more mainly probably Coleman, could be the deciding factor of how Illinois succeeds when they play Purdue home and away. But he's having a great year. And I'm happy for him because he's taken a lot of criticism. The thing I like about the kid, he's a family friend of mine. He's not politically correct. You know, sometimes it's nice to just have people tell you the truth of what they think. And that's Coleman. I love that about the kid. So he deserves the success he's having. He's having fun. You know, he's not sulking. He's not pouting. And I know how close he is to the team because I hear it. And the kids are just, they're happy with him and his play. You know, I mean, and he's shooting it well. He defends. And, you know, his passing, the turnovers, he's not having to direct guys where to go. And last year, if you look at game film, he was always telling guys where to go. I've not seen that this year. These older veterans, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. And then a final player I wanted to bring up, which is one that you've kind of been on the forefront of, Justin Harmon, 20 points, 7 for 11, 4 for 5, 7 for 11 from the field, 4 for 5 from the three, hit both of his free throws, couple rebounds, couple assists, only one turnover. Boy, he really has become another X factor for the Illini. When you can bring him in and get the defense that he provides, plus 20 points, holy cow, is that good.
Here's a guy that's a Chicago kid who's happy to be home and playing home. But when I'm thinking long-term with Justin Harmon, I'm thinking of watching the March Madness and teams just have guys that are just putting up daggers. That's the guy. That's the guy that everybody's going to focus on. We don't know what's going to happen with Terrence Shannon Jr., if he's going to come back or not. That's to be determined. But when you look at the scouting report with what they have today, you know you're going to have to stop Marcus Thomas. You know you're going to have to stop Coleman Hawkins and Quincy and Dane Danger when he's in there. But the guy, because he doesn't start, is who's not going to be on the highlight of anybody's scouting report, is Justin Harmon. And this guy is more than capable of putting up points. And I like the play calls. I mean, there's a play call that I don't want to say because, I'm going to call it because I know opposing fans aren't going to listen to our podcast. But, you know, when Marcus Domas taps his hand, man, and Justin's in the game, that play is going to him. And they did it two or three times, and they did it last game against Billy Dickinson. So I like the set. People ask if Coach Underwood was coaching his X's and O's. When they know a guy's feeling it, I mean, I like seeing that. So he's an X factor to me long-term because people don't think of him. They don't talk about him. And typically when guys don't start, you know, unless they're getting 30 minutes a game, they're not going to be in the forefront of anybody's scouting report.
Yep. Yeah. That's a heck of a thing. So any thoughts on what we saw? I'm going to run through a couple stats real quick, but, you know, Illinois held Northwestern to 41% from the field. While Illinois shot 63, but probably the one thing I think that really happened that kind of shocked me is by the end of the game, Northwestern shot 50% from the three against Illinois, which is not easy to do. Illinois still shot 56%. Points off of turnovers, Illinois had that 13-8. Illinois out-rebounded them 35-24. Second chance points, Illinois was 13-6. Bench points, Illinois won that one 25-17. Points in the paint, 34-30. You know, if you look at just about every statistic, you know, the Illini did, really had, you know, some superlative numbers. Points per possession, Illini was at 1.524. I mean, that is just, you know, that's just unbelievable. And it was, you know, and it was just a superlative game for the Illini. Really good defensive first half, strong defensive overall. And then just a barn burner of a shooting from Illinois in you know, each half. Just really did a nice job. You don't really see when Illinois shoots, 65% in the second half and 62% for the game. So, I mean, that means they shot better in the first than the second. So anything that jumped out at you, so we don't belabor the point, and we'll wait for Sturdy to jump on, but anything on your side that you wanted to put out there for the fans?
Two things. You know, how many times this season or last season did we hear people complain about the free throws? Mike, they shot 80% from the free throw last night, and kudos to Ty Rogers. Everybody's talked about this guy. Oh, they can't shoot free throws. Do they practice them? Did he work on them? I could be wrong, but I thought I heard him say he was 9 for his last 11. I don't have the computer in front of me. I know you do. But the free throws are huge because that's how you win games.
Yep. No, it's been really good. Exciting to see. And of course, Andy Katz did repost, you know, the Big Ten men's basketball tweet that talked about the Illinois victory. So Andy is okay. just wanted to make sure that nobody thinks that there's, you know, anybody's finished him off. As we go, now we have Friday night. We've got what is literally going to be one of the most challenging games. Probably the most challenging game the Illini have had all year, and may end up being the toughest game all year, playing a fantastic Purdue team in Mackey Arena. And folks, if you've never been to Mackey Arena, it is the worst place to play. It is deafeningly loud. The students are placed very strategically close to the court, and they make a lot of noise. This is going to be a really tough test for Illinois. Maybe they will look at it as their Michigan road trip without Io, after Io's broken nose, and maybe they can have that type of a victory. But this is definitely the hardest test of the year for these Illini, and I think it's going to be an exciting game. But it's one that will challenge every player to give their best and play their best in front of a very, very tough and very vocal Purdue crowd.
Mike, the national exposure, the media attention that this game is going to garnish is going to be unbelievable. I mean, you have two of the top 10 teams in the country. It's Big Ten basketball. It's at Mackey Arena. I'm going to put my coaching hat on, and if I'm Brad Underwood and I'm talking to my team, because you're right, you have to keep the crowd out of the game. You can't come out there and one basket is not going to get you 8 or 10 points. Get a couple layups, get some easy baskets, get and continue to score. They're going to make runs, and you know they're going to make runs because they're home, but Purdue's beatable. They've lost on the road. They are a great team, but Illinois has been battle-tested. I think Mackey Arena is a tough place to play. Illinois has been to Tennessee. That's why they schedule those games. So that way, when they get into conference play, and these kids are older, they're not going to be afraid. If you don't think Brad Underwood and Coleman Hawkins and Luke Goody, they're going to tell Marcus Domask and Justin Harmon what this is like and Quincy, what it's like. But they've also been involved in other arenas, you know, playing at Duke. That's not an easy place to play. So having said that, from a coaching standpoint, you got to execute. I would run a couple sets, get them in the game early because, you know, once they make the run, you know, you're going to get an official who'll make a couple calls, and then the game's going to change, and then you lose sight of the game. This team's good enough, and I have faith that they could go on the road and win. Really curious to see what the point spread is going to be for entertainment purposes only, because people now – they know what Illinois just did tonight. They're not going to count them out anymore.
Yeah, I do think the media and fans are very fleeting in their memory. So if Illinois doesn't have the best night against Purdue, I think it'll, quickly, I think, the people can forget these victories very quickly, but I think the important audience is the team that Coach Underwood has put together. And I just think these guys are too old to fall into a funk because they lose a game here or there. And the schedule gets tough for the Illini coming up. So this is going to be a great opportunity to go in and see if you can pull the upset, or at least, set the standard for what you want to do for the balance of the season. And then if Terrence Shannon Jr. comes back, that'll be a fantastic icing on top of the cake.
I agree. And like you said, Mike, it's a tough part of the schedule. And let's face it, they're not going to win every game for the rest of the year. Would it be nice? It'd be great. There's going to be upsets, so it's going to happen. And if they win, icing on the cake. If not, move on and you get the next one.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. All right, Ked, thank you so much for coming on. I know there's a lot of things going on, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes of your time to talk with Illini fans.
Thanks, and ILL.
I, we will be back after these messages with Brad Sturdy.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly 2-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in 6 states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
And as promised, we are back with Brad Sturdy, who was courtside for the 96-66 annihilation of Northwestern. Folks, enjoy it while you can. You don't know what's going to happen the next time Big Ten teams play. We've seen that before, but you can enjoy the wins while they happen. Brad, you got to see this. What jumped out at you sitting in the press row, watching Illinois literally take Northwestern apart the way, I might take apart a 5-year-old if I was playing them in basketball?
It's like you take apart a pizza, Mike. That's the only comparison I can come up with. But Illinois scored over 1.5 points per possession. The odds on that happening in the Big Ten is extremely rare. They were so good offensively and just fantastic at moving the ball. They made the right reads. They were able to take advantage of every mismatch they had. It was just, obviously Marcus Dumas got to get a lot of credit for what he did with his, post ups and his back downs and his spot ups and his, what do you want to say? He was just fantastic. There's no question. But, and he also had 6 assists, but the other guys were great attacking closeouts. Coleman Hawkins, pick and pop, then drive down the lane for a dunk. I mean, you saw that. It was perfect. It's just fantastic basketball. When they doubled the post, Quincy Guerrier got a lot of his baskets on cuts, cuts to the rim against the double teams. This was excellent offensive basketball. Defensively, I thought they did a great job, especially early on through the first half. But the offense was impeccable. You cannot run much better on offense. And, they say, well, teams have scored 96 before, but rarely does this team score 96 when there's only 63 possessions in the game. So that meant that's rare. And that just doesn't happen. I mean, the efficiency, that's why they're up to 12th in the country in offensive efficiency, adjusted. And when they're moving up to, 8th on KenPom, 9th in the AP, they're just really, this team's really clicking on all cylinders right now, even without a first-team All-American.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, I guess, as I looked at this game is when they needed somebody to step up, it really was, let's essentially replace Terrence Shannon Jr. with 2 or 3 guys, because it might be Damask one time down the court. It might be Guerrier the next time, Coleman Hawkins. And then I'll be honest, Justin Harmon has been like, he may be the surprise of all surprises, because he, you know, he had a great NIT run, but it looks like, you know, given the right night and, you know, being smart with his shot selection, he might be that guy who's your Vinny Johnson and heats things up when he comes in and puts even more pressure on an opposing defense.
He's in a great role for himself, where his job is to hit spot up threes and attack closeouts when they come fly at him. And also to obviously defend. And you know, he gets beat back door occasionally, but overall his defense is solid, he's tough, he battles, he competes. But offensively, he does exactly what we want. Last year, you know, people a lot of times get caught up in what they do. And the thing about it is last year he had to handle the ball more. And it's not like he can't dribble, but he's better in this role where his job is to catch and make threes. And so this is the type of thing that you do as a coach, is you find these pieces, you find how they fit. Same thing Quincy Guerrier. You can hit face-up threes. You don't want him really dribbling, but he can hit the face-up three, he can attack the closeout, and he also cuts to the basket, attack the offensive glass, you know, score at the rim. Those are things that you want from him. And it's just really, really impressive how Brad Underwood put this roster together and put the pieces together where they really, really fit. I know we talked about, you know, I haven't seen as many posts about the point guard-ish situation recently, so maybe we've moved on past that and are enjoying the team for what they are. But they are really a quality team, and they are really good, and you just enjoy watching it when they're clicking like that on all cylinders.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. And you know, the other thing I think that people are seeing out there is Ty Rogers is starting to evolve. You know, when he attacks the basket, he's starting to remind me of the Ty Rogers of Mean Streets that we watched in, you know, AAU tournaments. And he's also starting to attack the basket and be more of the complimentary player, but that he was with USA basketball. And even tonight, you know, his free throws, he continues doing well there, hitting both of his free throws. This team has a lot of weapons when they are playing within themselves.
Yeah, no question. And that's where, you know, part of being connected is understanding your role. And these guys really understand their role, and they're not a selfish team. I mean, you know, Damascus tonight scores 32 points, but he does on 15 shots, and they played through him a lot. But at the same time, you don't feel like he was, like, hunting shots. I mean, he was cooking, so getting the ball. And the other guys said, all right, he's cooking, let's get the ball. Because they also know when he got double-teamed, what did he do? He got it out and gave it up, and they got open looks out of that. That's why he had 6 assists, including also a couple of hockey assists too. And you know, Coleman Hawkins knows really, this is a style of basketball that really fits him as well, both offensively and defensively. And so that's where, you know, this team really fits, and they're, you know, we stay connected, Underwood stay connected, players stay connected. Obviously it's praise, but it's reality. And a part of this is being able to play, connected used to be, they really play well together. Well, now it's connected because we've got to have a catchphrase. But it's the same thing. And these guys really do play well together. They play off of each other. And they understand where the other one's going, whether it's a cutting, post-up, whatever it is. It's really fun to watch.
Was there anything, when you were watching the game, it was really apparent on television how many times Coleman Hawkins would come across and impede progress, support his teammate on defense, and really would just muck up what Northwestern was trying to do. From the first row, was it that apparent there live?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I tweeted about it too. But yeah, I mean, this is a guy who's so good defensively, especially in the help defense, and his switchability, versatility. Now, does he struggle? Is he going to struggle to guard some of the big physical bigs? Certainly, because he's not, you know, he's not that physical or not that, you know, thick. You know, although he's got good length, he's not, you know, 260, 270 pounds or anything like that. But he has the ability to move his feet. He can switch out on a guard. He can hedge. He can play drop coverage. You could basically use him however you want, you know, in many different types of defense. And what I like about him is that he also really, even though they don't show up on the box score, like he forced two turnovers tonight that, you know, you don't even notice because he just was in the right spot positioning. And he helped out. He got there, and then he's able to use that length to either tip a pass or get back to his guy. And he did it. He's just fantastic defensively. And I think that's where Brent Underwood's talked about him being possibly like a defensive player of the year candidate. He really is a game changer defensively, even though many times that doesn't show up on the stat sheet with what he's able to do.
Yeah, that'll be his biggest problem. You know, he won't have, you know, 3.2 blocks a game or something that will catch the person who's a voter who may not watch individual games.
And let's be honest, Mike. Most guys, you know, most of the people, and I, nothing against them, most of the basketball writers haven't coached or played or, you know, they follow the game. I mean, that's great. But, you know, they aren't going to have the same, you know, maybe understanding of what he does. And, you know, I don't think a lot of coaches, unless you really coach, you see that you've had to have a guy like that who's a great defender, not just on the ball, but also, I think it's hard to understand it. So, yeah, they're not going to look at that and go, oh, yeah, he's really good at help defense. But, you know, they're not going to get it.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is Brad putting together AAU teams every year. To me, I could always find one or two on-ball defenders that were really good, but I needed one or two guys who could do what Coleman Hawkins did to really make the defense work. Because if you didn't have that guy who was able to come over when he knew it was necessary and he could make that judgment, you would have, you know, you'd give up layups when you didn't want to. You'd give up the open shot. But, man, Hawkins just is like he makes the right choices. I know people get mad that they don't always like his shot selection. But defensively, I got to go back. I mean, you got to go back to when he was hobbling on a bad knee. And then you wonder if it wasn't a choice of a bad choice, you know, mentally, but more just physically he couldn't get there. He's really made just about every decision you want him to make on defense. He's made the right one.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think they probably, if he's healthy and clicking, playing like he is now, they beat Marquette for sure. I mean, yeah. So early in the season, he wasn't well for that game, wasn't good. And so if he is healthy and playing well, this team's really good. And that's without Terrence Shannon. We haven't even talked about him. And just going to show you that, you know, when you replace Terrence Shannon with, you know, some guys, that just means other guys have shoes. Doesn't mean your team's going to be, obviously, I still contend. I mean, you look at the last two games. Offensively, they have been amazing the last two games. I know it was Farley Dickinson and Northwestern. But they've been incredible offensively. Where they're going to miss Terrence Shannon as much as anywhere is on the defensive end. Not having that guard that can just lock down. Not saying that you don't miss 22 points a game from an All-American guard, but I'm just saying that you can have other guys step up, you can do some things, increase usage for guys like DeMast and Guerrier, et cetera, but you can't really replace his his athleticism and defense and length and things like that. That's where I think as we go forward, that's going to be one of the question marks for them.
Yeah, I really thought with Shannon – you would be able to play a little bit of that Celtics that they used to do against Wilt Chamberlain, where you're like, okay, you know, we'll have Edie can score, but we're going to harass and harangue everybody else on the team and see if he can outscore our entire offense. And I think, you know, without Shannon, that's a little harder to pull off.
Yep, I agree. And, you know, but there's now you look at it. So, you know, do we, if they're there, and I think there's a chance that they get Terrence Shannon back at some point. When he comes back, I mean, how deep is this team? You've got guys who've been really good, and now you just, you know, you're clicking at it, and now you have that guy. You know, you have that guy added to what you already had. It could be really, really, it's a team that could actually get to the final four.
Yeah, it's exciting to see what's coming. Of course, you know, we want the truth to weigh out in Kansas City or in Kansas. And of course, we're obviously hoping that Terrence Shannon has the opportunity to return. I don't think I'm saying anything out of turn with that. Do you?
No, I mean, I think you hope that, you know, this has worked out, that it wasn't, you know, the charge that they put out there. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, you feel for the victim, you feel for Terrence, you feel for everybody involved, you know, a lot of other people present. And, you know, so you feel for what's going on, and you just hope people make a good decision, make the right decision here, and that everything goes the way it's supposed to go, and that, you know, the justice comes, but also that we make, you know, that we, you know, it's not just some sort of vindictive thing that comes out of it. So just want to make sure everything goes all right, but from what I'm hearing, I think there's a possibility that he could be back, and if that happens, obviously this team gets a lot better.
Yeah, exactly. One other thing, couple visitors there tonight. Did you have any insight that you might want to share, you know, with folks on Jason Jaxtus and Jackson, and now I'm blanking on last names.
Davis.
Yeah, Jackson Davis. Any insight you want to share with Illini guys, subscribers, or listeners?
Yeah, sure. Jason Jaxtus, obviously the 6'11" kid in 2024, is committed to Illinois. He's more of a big man who can really, you know, he's skilled, he's long, he's got nice athleticism. He's get stronger. He's going to be the kid probably more as a long-term guy. And next to Perez Johnson, that's a great fit. We have a roster of 13 guys they all want to play here that they're at the transfer portal and NIL and so forth. To have a kid like this who can fill that, you know, last spot for a couple of years, practice, get stronger, work on his defense, things like that in practice, develop himself even more, that's huge. And then Jackson Davis is one of the best 2027 guards in the country. Yes, that's a freshman. He was MVP of the Proviso West tournament after scoring 36 in the championship game. Shortly after the game, he received an offer from Atlanta coach Tim Anderson. And you know, his father was actually instrumental in Jerry Richmond coming to Illinois back in, you know, this is about 15 years ago when he committed, 15, 16 years ago, whatever it was, as an AAU coach for Rising Stars program back in the day. He's also a guy who's obviously got a big connection to Illinois from his time there. So this is he's a kid that LRI loves. I think he's fantastic. I think he's an elite. He's one of those guys that, you know, people want a guard that can score and handle it, pass it. You know, he's got to get a little stronger, but he's like 12. You know, not really. He's like 14 or 15. But you get my point. He's young, and he's got to get a little bigger and stronger. He's going to be a great college player. In the class of 2027, and Illinois got in there early with an offer. And to him, along with the kids from Bolingbrook, Davion Thompson, just two elite 2027 guards in the state of Illinois that we haven't seen a pair of guards like this in a long time in the state.
Yeah, I mean, I could handle that. Of course, Illinois is flush with guard candidates. It's clear that when you look at what they're recruiting, that Coach Underwood, and along with Coach Anderson and Chester Frazier and Jeff Alexander, are finding very talented guards. Had the opportunity to watch Bryce Dixon down here in Dallas, and there's a 6'4" guard who already has the 17-foot mid-range, and he's built like, you know, he's only 15, even though he's a sophomore. You could see him, you know, looking like if he keeps growing, he could be a 6'6", 6'7", just nightmarish player. And somehow Brad Underwood is starting to get the type of players and hone in on what he wants. And it seems like this roster is one that's going to be the offensive threat that his SFA teams were, with the defensive capabilities of what he's already proven at Illinois, it getting more and more formidable as the season moves forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got, you know, pieces. Also, they're old, you know, guys. You know, you got older guys like this. I think he seems much, I don't know how to say it, he seems much more comfortable coaching them as he goes through this. I mean, I don't feel like he's coaching every possession like he did a little bit last year, where you're trying to coach, you know, for the sideline. I think if you have confidence in your guys, I mean, you just kind of go let him play, and you put him in a position to succeed, and then they go play, and that's what he's been able to do. And I think that's why you want these guys. You know, you got to recruit some freshmen, you got to bring them in. You want guys who can come in and play, or guys that are willing to, you know, kind of grow and learn. And I think they've got two freshmen right now, or three, if you count Moretti, who are willing to grow and learn. And obviously, Moretti, it's more of a physical issue, but these guys, Draven Gibbs LaHorn, Imani Hanfrey, Nico Moretti, they grow and learn and get better. Perez Johnson, Jason Butler, and Jason Jackson coming in next year. And this is what you want to build your program. And then you add those guys, those impact guys from the portal, Marcus DeMast, Quincy Gary, and Justin Harmon. And suddenly you're cooking with gas. And that's a good thing.
Yep. Any final thoughts for those Illini fans who are driving home, whether they're going back up to Chicago, over to Springfield, down to, you know, Marion, all areas, of course, where the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular is broadcast. But any other things you want to throw out there before we wrap it up?
It's going to get a little tougher on Friday. At Purdue, probably the toughest place to play in the Big Ten. They've obviously got the aircraft carrier in the middle, Zach Eady. I think the one thing, it's going to be very interesting. I actually expect that Purdue is going to put Zach Eady on Ty Rogers in the half court. I think they're going to pressure a little bit in the full court and then switch when they get in the half court. And I think that's going to be an interesting matchup to see how Illinois counteracts that and are able to maybe use Rogers' ball screen situations and so forth and so on. But yeah, it's going to be an intriguing matchup in Mackey. And I do think Illinois probably is one of those teams where, you know, and that's where, you know, maybe if they use the mask, when Rogers isn't in the game, who does he guard? I mean, he could, because if he's guarding Colin Hawkins, that's a mismatch for Purdue. And so this is going to be an interesting to see how this Illinois offense has been so productive, able to score against this Purdue defense.
Yeah, I do think, you know, if they put him on Ty Rogers, I have Ty Rogers picking, you know, in the locker room. I've been picking people in the crowd. We're gonna at least make Mr. Eady run around a little bit, if nothing else. But it will be a lot of fun to see how Coach Underwood counters that and what they do.
I think the one thing you do is you use him as a screener.
Oh gosh, yes. Oh yeah,
and that really makes it difficult because now they've got, you know, if DeMas comes off that screen, now he's downhill that mid range. We know he can make the mid range shot, or he can pull up a three or whatever. And there's so many, you know, you do so many different things when you use Rogers as a screener. So I'm sure Illinois to have a pretty good game plan. Should be fun to me.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, Brad, for coming on. And folks, we will be back in 1 minute to wrap the show up.
Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcast, starting with our signature Eye on the Illini series, which discusses recent Illini events. Sturdy for 30 is where veteran Illini insider and analyst Brad Sturdy talks with experts and people in the know. And Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where IlliniGuys.com director of recruiting Kedrick Prince talks with players, parents, and coaches about the next wave of Illini student athletes. Stay in the know with Illini Guys podcast. Find them wherever you download your podcasts.
And thank you so much for listening to Eye on the Illini. We really appreciate Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince for taking time out of their evening to come on and talk about the game. Of course, we'd like you to come to IlliniGuys.com. There are a lot of moving pieces going on with the team on the court. Some of the things going on with Terrence Shannon Jr. off the court. Come on, become a member, $99 a year. Go back into our message boards and you can follow all the stuff right there. It's a very good time to be on our board. We are certainly hoping that with a little bit of good fortune that things will get straightened out down in Kansas, and maybe we'll get lucky and Terrence Shannon Jr. will be back on the court again. So we are going to be covering that story along with Illini on the court and, of course, Illini women's basketball as well. And of course, the transfer portal for the football team and the golf team. You know, you start looking at all the things going on Illini sports. This is a fantastic time to join the Illini guys. We will be back, of course, later this week when Illinois takes on Purdue. Until then, go Illini.
Thank you.